Looks like we've got everybody getting settled in. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today is Tuesday, September 20th, 2022, and we have four cases on the oral argument calendar scheduled for today. This is the second of those cases. My name is Sarah Wheelock, and I'm serving on a panel today with Judges Diane Bratvold and Jeannie Cochran. We are holding our proceedings here in courtroom 100 of the Minnesota Judicial Center. Oral arguments are recorded by the court. The recordings are generally available within 24 hours on the Minnesota Judicial Branch's website. And with that, Marshall, please call the next case before us.
Our second case this morning is A22-0328, Victor H. Ortega et al. Appellants with Bridget Penworth and Patrick Branch Corporation respondents.
Thank you. Counsel, as you probably know, you each have 15 minutes. For your principal argument, and counsel for appellant, you'll have an additional 5 minutes for your rebuttal. It is my understanding that we have attorneys for respondent that would like to split the time equally. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. We'll split it 7.5 minutes and 7.5.
Okay, thank you. And so what we'll do is at the end of the first 7.5 minutes, you will have a moment to switch and the marshal will reset the clock for you. There is a clock on the center podium. There is also a button underneath where you can move the podium up and down and make sure you get comfortable. That clock, I will also be watching. I have a clock here for me. And at the beginning of your arguments, please introduce yourself and identify your client clearly for our recording. So with that, counsel for appellant, you may begin when you are ready.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Patrick Smith. I'm the attorney for Plaintiff Victor Hugo Ortega and his entity, V&A Course Supply, Inc. In the courtroom today is Mr. Ortega. My focus here today is to go through the three statement of legal issues and surmise. Statement of legal issue number one, appellant Victor Hugo Ortega, doing business as V&A Course Supply in August of 19, invested in working with Ream Kenworth dealerships, advisors, and agents. The key agent is Kenworth Truck Company, who install at Ream dealership a software system that Ream's local agent utilized to design what Victor H. Ortega had demanded, a double frame be installed in his $244,207.85 new Kenworth T880 truck. Sadly, Ortega's requests were denied by both the agents of Ream and Kenworth Truck Company's computer. This year, by note, this is no ordinary car dealership down in South St. Paul. Ream has just celebrated its 90th anniversary, having this past weekend a very large gala at the Vikings facility. This is not a small thing. This is a very worldwide large company. Plaintiff appellant's difficulties in this action started in August of 19 when he initially walked into respondent's Ream's dealership in South St. Paul to purchase a truck. From the beginning, Ream Kenworth utilized practices that he specifically requested what's called a double frame for his work truck. That specifically is on a deposition taken on July 29th, 2021, deposition at pages 25, lines 3 to 5, quote, question from Ream attorney David Moline, what else did you tell the Ream agent Cliff Cadwalder were your requirements? We know the weight, double frame, anything else? Victor's response, I wanted a double frame. Lines 25, page 25, lines 21 to 24. Yes, that's what he, Ream Kenworth's Cliff Caldwater, said, and he told me it's not necessary for the proposed truck to be a double frame because he, the Kenworth Truck Company's computer, says it's not necessary.
Counsel?
Victor Ortega insisted. I did want that. Page 26, lines 17 to 20.
Counsel, I do have a question for you. So I understand that Mr. Ortega did go in and initially requested a double frame. Ultimately, at the time of purchase and with the purchase agreement that he signed, is it accurate that he signed a purchase agreement that was for a single-frame vehicle?
He told them what he wanted, and they designed it, is probably the separation and the reliance of the Kenworth Ream dealership with a computer system is really what goes on here. There's a kind of a trifecta. There's a Packer, P-A-C-C-A-R, is a company like General Motors. It has a finance division, and it has the truck divisions of truck being Kenworth and Peterbilt. So in this instance, if you're an agent sitting at Kenworth who sells a truck, you type it in, it goes to a computer system at Kenworth Truck Company, and it tells you what you need. So that's, if I'm trying to respond to you correctly, I'm trying to emphasize his requests that go on with, again, at page 26, line 17 to 20, his deposition, because it was necessary, I would like to use the new truck in construction, because in that, things are heavy, and that's the reason why I wanted a double frame. That's the service. As you come in, the first thing you do is build your truck. The second step is getting financing, and one of the key of the triangles here of the Packer entity is Packer Financial Corporation. Again, there's nobody there. They get on the phone on a computer system and line it up. And my question number two, or statement of legal issue number two, Packer Financial Corporation, the other K agent, failed in its obligation to verify that Victor Arteaga understood that Packer had underwritten him as high-risk borrower, and they ended up loaning him at a rate of 8.7%. The issue here becomes, what advice and counsel, when they know that Mr. Arteaga doesn't even speak English, did they do when you have a high-risk borrower who is being sold at 8.7% and is identified in numerous documents by Packer Financial that he's risky credit? In this instance, they did nothing on that. They just sold it to him and took credit for his old truck.
To that point, could you identify what obligation these companies have to provide your client with that type of advice and counsel?
No, and I appreciate that. I think that that's, again, that's, I guess I tried to identify somebody with a 90-year history should know how to take care of a customer that's buying a $250,000 truck. That's what obligation would be, professionalism. I don't have a case law.
Okay, so you don't have a statute or a case site that you could point to that formally imposes that duty on these companies?
Correct. I think that internally, Packer Financial Corporation was very clear that they pulled credit, that they identified him as risky credit, and they offered him an 8.7% loan. As much as I understand clearly what you're saying, I think that they are, this is, again, commercial business, and they should have known how to treat a customer. My third...
Also, I think I understand your concerns here, but can you identify for us the disputed issues of fact that you believe preclude summary judgment in this case? In other words, you're challenging the grant of summary judgment, so what...
That's where I'm coming here with number three. Here.
Oh, okay, great. Thank
no,
you.
Perfect timing. The genuine issue of material fact is that he was denied to file a warranty claim less than 60 days after taking possession of this T880 Kenworth truck. Dakota County Judge David Knutson, in his November 1, 2021 order granting summary judgment to Ream Kenworth, Judge Knutson did find at page 3 of the summary judgment memo that in August 2019, quote, Mr. Arteaga settled on a truck and spoke to the sales agent about his need for a double-frame chassis. However, at page 4, Judge Knutson was incorrect when he stated, quote, neither of the named defendants in this case are parties to the warranty agreement between Kenworth Truck Company and the plaintiffs. The facts are clear that Victor Arteaga complied with Kenworth Truck Company's warranty by delivering his damaged single-frame Kenworth T880 to the Ream dealership as a warranty clearly provides. Now, in particular, this warranty reads, this is clearly incorrect and a material fact of the trial court. In fact, Kenworth Truck Company's warranty clearly provides the method which a truck owner, such as Mr. Arteaga, must comply with. Quote, you are responsible for providing proof that all recommended inspections and maintenance have been performed. Before the expiration of the applicable warranty, in this case, the frame warranty is 60 months, 500,000 miles. We're talking within 60 days, this thing failed. Within 60 months and or 500 miles is the warranty for the frame, provided for the subject single frame. You, Victor Arteaga, must notify an authorized dealer, in this case, Ream Kenworth Dealership. It says clearly in the warranty, this is how you make a warranty claim. You must notify an authorized dealer of any warrantable failures and make the vehicle available for repair by such authorized dealer. You are responsible for delivery of the vehicle to the authorized dealer. Again, Victor Arteaga and his vehicle, he had it for less than 90 days before he complained and initiated his warranty rights. Arteaga notified Ream Kenworth as agents of the warranty mandates. Ream Kenworth admits in its July 29, 2021 memo for summary judgment that Victor Arteaga did in fact deliver his T880 to Kenworth to the authorized dealership and notified Ream Kenworth that the frame was bent.
So, counsel, as I understand what you're suggesting that Ream was in fact an agent for Kenworth Truck Company for the purposes of this limited warranty agreement. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. And
can you explain to us how it is that you've determined, or what in the record demonstrates that agency relationship?
The warranty says specifically, if you have a warranty claim, you go to an authorized dealer. You don't drive it to Kenworth Truck Company, wherever they're even located. You go to downtown South St. Paul, in this case. In this case, I want to quote Mr. Marine here from representing Ream. Ream Dealership and Kenworth Truck Company admit in its July 29, 2021, page one of its motion for summary judgment, quote, Kenworth Truck Company, the manufacturer of the truck, and Ream Kenworth determined that the damage to the truck frame was not covered by the manufacturer's warranty. Now, with that said, the declaration here, where is the warranty claim report? Never been provided. Counsel for Ream filed on July 29, 2021. Exhibit 6 is the warranty provides 60 months, 500,000 miles, index number 62. Kenworth Truck Company and Ream Kenworth have refused to provide the alleged determination report of Arteaga's warranty claim. In fact, Ream admitted there was, quote, nothing wrong with the truck. Advise Arteaga to get a wheel alignment, which Ream allegedly provided such wheel alignment. Ream demanded payment for the realignment, and when Arteaga refused, he was jailed by Ream, and he had to call the South St. Paul police to be released from the dealership. So that's kind of the facts of our case and the law that's applying. It clearly states that authorized dealership Ream is to take care of all warranty claims. And they get on the phone, just like they would with Packer Financial if we had a financing issue. You get on the phone with Kenworth Truck Company, and supposedly they had something that's never been provided, that they made a report that there's nothing wrong with it, when at the same time they'll admit that the frame was bent. They can say Mr. Arteaga bent the frame, but when you have 60-month, 500,000 miles, and within 60 days it bends, there's a problem.
So I'm wondering, I'm sorry, I have the warranty right here in front of me, and I do understand the language that you read out about taking the truck into an authorized dealer. My understanding of the summary judgment disposition, however, is that neither of the parties who are identified in the complaint are responsible for this limited warranty agreement. And so if you could speak to the fact that they're not identified in the warranty agreement, but Kenworth Truck Company is, and perhaps explain why Kenworth Truck Company isn't an identified party. That would be helpful.
Well, the warranty is the Kenworth Truck Company warranty, and it's telling anybody who wants to make a claim to go to one of its authorized dealerships. In this case, Ream Kenworth in South St. Paul is clearly an authorized dealership to the Kenworth Truck Company, which is a division of Packer. Is that clear?
But isn't Kenworth Truck Company ultimately responsible for providing the any work that's required under the warranty as opposed to the dealer?
Well, in this instance, as counsel for the Ream wrote on July 29th, 2021, Kenworth Truck Company, the manufacturer of the truck, and Ream Kenworth determined, makes it sound like they both did it together, that the damage to the truck frame was not covered by its warranty. They're not even clear. What does that mean? I mean, where's a report? I mean, they all know that the frame bent, and their whole deal is that Mr. Arteaga bent it while he was using the truck. He, of course, had asked, that's why we started out, that for a double frame, of which the Kenworth Truck Company's computer is what designs the truck when you're in there. And he asked for a double frame multiple times, and they wouldn't give it to him. So that's kind of the back and forth of where we lie here. It's very clear that Judge Knutson can't say in his motion for summary judgment being granted that that Kenworth Truck Company is not involved here when it's admitted by counsel for Ream that together, the Ream dealership, as an authorized dealer where you're supposed to take it, they get on the phone with headquarters and go through this. Now, where's this report? Never been provided, but we get it. They just shot him down. That's all for now. I think we're at 4 seconds left, so I'll.
We are. Thank you, counsel. We will turn to the first attorney for respondents, and there should be 7.5 minutes on the clock. Feel free to adjust. You got that? Good. Okay. I never know exactly how to describe people where the little button is, but you figured it out. Okay. You may begin when you are ready.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is David Maureen, and I represent respondent Ream Kenworth. Excuse me. Appellants' arguments, both here this morning and in their brief, I think are red herrings and distractions from the actual issues that were decided by the trial court. One thing we've not heard from appellants either this morning or in briefing is specifically what they believe the trial court got wrong. You've all read the trial court's order granting summary judgment to Ream Kenworth on appellants' three causes of action: breach of contract, fraudulent non-disclosure or negligent misrepresentation, and unjust enrichment, quasi-contract, and quantum merit. We have yet to be provided with an argument as to why the grant of summary judgment in Ream's favor was incorrect. Appellants were asked what issues of fact are in dispute that would preclude summary judgment. And I didn't hear an answer. What I heard was an allegation that Mr. Arteaga was denied his right to file a warranty claim. And I don't think that's supported by the evidence. And I'll get into that in a minute.
So counsel, if you could address the argument made by appellant's lawyer that when Mr. Arteaga made his warranty claim, because as I understand, he certainly did present it, right, to Ream, and you are representing today. Ream is the authorized agent, right,
That's
for
correct.
Kenworth. So that stage of the warranty claim process was done correctly by Mr. Arteaga, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And then it's the determination, right, that the problems with the truck are not covered by the warranty. That seems to be crucial, at least in one aspect of appellant's argument. Now, that determination was made by your client, Ream?
Yes, that's correct. The limited warranty, which Your Honors have pointed out, Ream Kenworth is not a party to. The limited.
I understand that, but you did play a role, right?
Yes, absolutely.
The determination. So go to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The limited warranty doesn't cover every conceivable damage that a truck could happen to a truck. Specifically, it covers warrantable failures, and there is a list of certain things that are warrantable failures.
So notably, is there a document in the file that reflects the determination that Rheem made that the damage to this truck, it does not covered by the warranty? What?
There is not a document.
Okay.
That has never been requested. It was explained to Mr. Arteaga that the bend in the truck frame was caused likely by overloading. It wasn't caused by any defect in the truck or the frame itself, which would be a warrantable failure. Mr. Arteaga didn't provide any evidence to the contrary. Once litigation...
Well, he presented the truck for your inspection, right?
Yes.
Okay, so your inspection resulted in a determination, and I'm talking about your client, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, so resulted in a determination. So where is that reflected? Is it? It's the deposition testimony? Is that what you're suggesting?
I don't believe that there is any evidence in the record. There's no documents or anything. Nothing like that has ever been requested in this lawsuit.
I'm not talking about what's been requested. I mean, I think his position is that there's a question of fact here, right, as to your determination. I think that's appellant's argument. And I'm just trying to understand what the record is that reflects that. You're saying there is no document reflecting the Rheem's determination that this truck's damage isn't covered by the warranty.
There is none that I am aware of.
But you seem to be asserting that there's something that shows that, and I'm just trying to understand what shows that.
There may be a document. I believe Cliff Cadwallader, who was the sales agent for Rheem Kenworth, who worked with Mr. Arteaga, testified in his deposition that if there was any documentation about the determination that the damages to the vehicle were not warrantable failures, that Chad Kurtz, the director of the service department at Rheem Kenworth, would have that information. Mr. Arteaga and V&A Core Supply chose not to depose him, chose not to ask him about it, chose not to request any documents about it. But I'd also like to point out this issue of whether or not Mr. Arteaga and V&A Core Supply were denied their right to file a warranty claim, that was never brought up in the trial court. That's new here at the appellate level. And because of that, I don't think it's a basis for reversal of what the trial court said. The trial court focused on whether or not the limited warranty between appellants and Kenworth Truck Company was breached. And the trial court determined that because Rheem Kenworth was not a party to that contract, it cannot be liable for a breach of that. Even if Rheem Kenworth is somehow involved in this contract, despite not being a party to it, there's no evidence of a breach. Again, the limited warranty covers warrantable failures. The two issues that appellants have identified are the fact that he was asked to pay for the two alignments he requested. Those are explicitly excluded by the warranty. And then the fact that the damaged frame to his truck was not repaired. There's no evidence that the frame was bent because of a defect in the truck or an otherwise warrantable failure of the truck. In fact, the only evidence in the case are from experts retained by Rheem Kenworth and Packer Financial, both of whom agree that the cause of the bend in the frame had to have been either overloading the truck or some external force that was applied to the frame. Appellants chose not to hire an expert to establish a defect was present. And so because of that, there's no basis to conclude that even if Rheem Kenworth was involved, that it breached the warranty. Very briefly, I'd like to address counsel's comments about the request for the double chassis. This was at issue in the trial court, and I don't think it's in dispute. Mr. Arteaga was clear in his deposition that while he initially asked for a double chassis, he talked to Mr. Cadwallader, relied on the engineering program and the engineers at Kenworth Truck Company who reviewed the specifications produced by the computer and understood that a double chassis was not necessary for what he wanted to do. The truck he decided to purchase was a single chassis. He knew that. He signed a purchase agreement for a truck with a single chassis, and he knew that's what he was getting when he accepted delivery of the truck. It only had a single chassis. I see I'm out of time. I would request that the court affirm the trial court's grant of summary judgment.
Thank you. And we will turn next to your co-counsel. And the clock has been reset. You can begin when you are ready.
Right. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jeffrey Fertel. I'm of the Hinshaw and Culbertson Law Firm, and we represent PACCAR Financial Corporation in this matter. Contrary to the appellant's assertion, the issues on this appeal are framed by the pleadings in the district court, as well as the record that was established at the district court level. This case does not involve issues that were never asserted by the appellant in the pleadings or in the district court. It does not involve arguments that are being set forth by appellant's counsel that aren't established by the record. The pleadings in this case, and there is only one complaint, was filed in October of 2020. It alleges that PACCAR Financial Corporation is involved in the business of financing and leasing vehicles. The complaint alleges that Mr. Arteaga's truck was not driving straight due to a bend in the frame, and that he had taken it in for repair and it hadn't been repaired. It was further alleged three causes of action against my client, PACCAR Financial Corporation. One, that PACCAR Financial Corporation breached its agreement with Mr. Arteaga with regard to financing. Or two, that there was some fraudulent non-disclosure or negligent misrepresentation by PACCAR Financial. And three, that under the doctrines of either unjust enrichment or quantum merit, that the plaintiff is entitled to relief in this case. What is not in the plaintiff's complaint or any of the pleadings below was the reference to the alleged failure to advise Mr. Arteaga of some type of excessive or usurious interest rate or not properly advising Mr. Arteaga of the rate of interest. That's nowhere to be found at the lower court level, and it was raised for the first time by plaintiff's counsel in his appellate brief in this case. Secondly, there's no cause of action alleged in the pleadings or argued to the district court that Mr. Arteaga was precluded from making a warranty claim as it relates to the alleged bend in this particular truck. That was never even raised on summary judgment at the district court level. And in fact, in the appellant brief in this case, there is not a word challenging the district court's decision and the basis of why the district court was wrong in granting summary judgment. With regard to this particular case, the facts reflect that PACCAR Financial Corporation was involved in financing this particular transaction. It's undisputed in the record via both affidavit as well as deposition testimony that PACCAR Financial Corporation issued no warranties as it relates to this truck. They also specifically in the transaction in the financing agreement disclaimed any express or implied warranties as it relates to this truck. References made to the fact that the only warranty that would be applicable would be the manufacturer's warranty. And in this particular case, PACCAR Financial was not involved in any way in the initial sales transaction between RIM and Mr. Arteaga. They were not involved in setting specifications for the vehicle. They were not involved in the decision to use either a double frame or a single frame. And in follow-up, they were not involved in any aspect of the administration of the warranty in this case. That's simply because they did not supply the warranty. So given those undisputed facts, the district court was correct in granting summary judgment to PACCAR Financial Corporation. First of all, in terms of the alleged breach of contract, without a warranty or any involvement in the warranty, PACCAR Financial had no responsibility for any alleged deficiencies in the truck. There is nothing that indicates that PACCAR Financial did anything with regard to the transaction or in conjunction with its financing agreement, which was violated in this particular case. There's no evidence that they violated any aspect of their contract as it relates to Mr. Ortega. Secondly, there is the claim for negligent misrepresentation and or intentional concealment. And in this particular case, as I pointed out to earlier, there's simply no evidence of PACCAR Financial being involved in any aspect of the sales transaction, the specifications for this vehicle, or the warranty. There's no evidence in the record that PACCAR Financial or any of its representatives made any negligent misrepresentation to Mr. Ortega with regard to the condition or alleged deficiencies in his truck. There's no evidence that PACCAR Financial made any or failed to disclose any material information related involving this vehicle to Mr. Ortega at the time that the financing agreement was executed. It's pretty clear that they wouldn't have been able to make any representations because they were never involved in the contract or the specifications for this particular vehicle. And then finally, the other cause of action that was alleged was quantum merit or unjust enrichment. And as we've pointed out in our briefs, where there is a valid and enforceable contract in this case, and in particular, the financing agreement between the appellants and PACCAR Financial, that equitable remedies such as quantum merit or equitable or estoppel are simply not available to provide relief to the plaintiff in this particular case as a matter of law. Moreover, the plaintiff's claims for quantum merit and unjust enrichment are premised in the pleadings upon misrepresentations allegedly made by PACCAR Financial and or RIM in this particular case. And as I previously pointed out, there's absolutely nothing in the record that would establish any misrepresentation or concealment on behalf of PACCAR Financial. Accordingly, the district court was correct in granting summary judgment in this case as it relates to PACCAR Financial Corporation. There was no issue of fact that had been established by the appellant which would preclude summary judgment. And given the totality of the record and the undisputed facts, the district court was correct in concluding as a matter of law that the three the causes of action set forth in the complaint by the plaintiff, a complaint that had never been amended, were indeed subject to dismissal as a matter of law. One last thing I'd like to point out is that the court did make some reference to whether or not there's any document in the record as it relates to the alleged deficiencies in the vehicle and the cause of that. In conjunction with our motion for summary judgment, one of the other grounds we had alleged to the district court was that the plaintiff had failed to provide any evidence that the alleged deficiency or bend in the vehicle was indeed a result of some type of manufacturing defect or other deficiency that would be covered by a warranty that related to this vehicle. That was never responded to. There's nothing in the record that would controvert the expert report that was submitted, expert reports, I believe, because RIM also submitted one as well.
That's what I was going to ask, counsel. So, I mean, I understand that you're appropriately noting that the burden of proof and summary judgment does fall to the plaintiff to create a question of fact. But your client did, in fact, produce an expert report as to the cause of the bend in the vehicle.
Yes, we had, before summary judgment was granted, Your Honor,
It's an interesting fact in this litigation in light of the fact that you claim not to be a party to the warranty, that nonetheless you did pursue route of producing the expert report.
Right. Your Honor, at that point, we can't, at least I don't anticipate that we're necessarily going to get summary judgment at every opportunity we file it. So we had to comply with the court's order in terms of any expert disclosures, and that's where that comes from. But in summary here, it's there's simply nothing to establish that PACCAR Financial was involved in the warranty, negligently concealed anything, or that it's subject to liability and some type of equitable remedy.
Thank you, counsel. Okay, and we will turn back to counsel for appellant, and there are 5 minutes. You can begin when you are ready.
Thank you. Real quick, or, I don't know if I should say real quick. I want to re-emphasize that, again, Judge Knutson's November 1, 2021 granting of summary judgment misses the fact that Kenworth Truck Company and Kenworth Truck Company and Rheem together needed and did do a warranty and denied any report of what was going on. At the same time, they admit that the frame bent. And at all times, he asked for a double frame, which they refused to provide him. The last two things, with Packer Financial, it's appalling that this giant multi-billion-dollar company providing a Spanish-speaking guy 8.7% financing and identifying him as risky credit doesn't internally need to identify that maybe this is a risk that they should provide some more notice. Lastly,
so, Counsel, is that a reference to the interest rate?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, I'm sorry.
So would you address the argument made by Respondent's Counsel that claim for usurious interest is not reflected in the complaint that was filed in this case? Because I didn't see it in the district court summary judgment decision. Now, maybe I missed it, but what I'm trying to...
A lot of documents in this case.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're going to object that was the rate. I'm just trying to talk
about...
No,
nobody's objecting it's the rate. It's about making the claim, right? I mean, it falls to the plaintiff to articulate the claims that are decided.
Nicole Stadler from Packer Financial filed an affidavit that identified both the rate and that he was a risky credit.
Right. No, I don't think those facts are disputed, counsel, so if you just let me finish my question. My question is, does the complaint that was filed in this case state a claim that the interest rate charged by Packer was usurious? I didn't see it, so.
By identifying it, I know what you're saying. I'm going to say that we did not, but it's come into all the evidence as to what it is and what they do here.
All right,
I think it's a triangle here of being a manufacturer, being a financial company, and being a dealership. Last, I want to point out this inspection that they love to talk about and having their experts finally come was 1 year after he was kicked out of the dealership and forced to drive a broken truck until they repossessed it from him. So this expert report that they talk about had 1 year of driving on it with nothing that obviously had more damage to it because he was forced to drive on a broken truck. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to all counsel who appeared today and to the parties. We have heard your argument, we have read the briefs, and we will take this under advisement and issue an opinion within the statutory time frame.